In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the last full month of the Coptic year. There's a following month that comes after, that is usually 5 or 6 days, so I'm not considering that a full month, but this is the last full month of the year. And two things come together in this last month for our meditation. Number one, it is a month that is dedicated in the church to the veneration of the Holy Virgin Saint Mary, the Mother of God and the Mother of us all. And on the daily level, on the lives of the daily life of our church, the people back home in Egypt, this is a time of harvest, especially harvesting things like grapes. And so the church gives us this gospel today with those two things in mind: the Holy Virgin Mary and the harvest, the vineyard, the idea of vine dressers and taking care of the vineyard for our edification. So let's think about this together and how these two things tie together for our meditation and for our spiritual edification. The psalm begins and says, O God of hosts, turn, look on us from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine. What is this vine? The Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel of St. Luke was, of course, first of all, speaking to the people of Israel themselves. And most pointedly, and it was understood as such, to the leaders of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were responsible for taking care of his vine, the vine of the God of Israel. Throughout the history of God's relationship with the people of Israel, we see this dynamic that we see in this parable. The vine dresser, or the owner of the vineyard, who assigns or entrusts his vineyard in the hands of vine dressers to take care of it, to grow the vines, to do all the manual hard labor that is involved in the work of agriculture, and to take care of it for him until he comes and asks for fruit. And in the same way, the people of Israel throughout hundreds of years before the coming of Christ were entrusted to the hands of prophets, kings, priests, taking care of the service of the temple, fulfilling all the commandments that the Lord commanded the people of Israel in his covenant with Moses on Mount Sinai. The law functioned almost the way that a hedge or a wall or a fence is put around the vineyard. The law was given to the people of Israel, and if you read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, you'll find that all these rules that were probably new in the lives of the Jews and of humanity in general, and the Lord had a say in almost every aspect of their lives. You're going to eat this, or you can't eat this, but you can't eat that. You can marry this person, but not that person. You can sacrifice this kind of animal, but you can't sacrifice that kind of animal. And everything was phrased in those terms. And the whole point of it was that the Lord was instructing the people of Israel, implicitly throughout these laws, that everything we do has a spiritual dimension. Nothing falls outside of the realm of God. There's nothing in my life that I can segregate as a department in my life away from spirituality, or away from God, or away from my relationship with Christ. Everything that I do, everything that I think, everything, every relationship that I have. And the Jews did not understand this. And the Lord gave them the law in order to protect around them the way you protect around a vineyard or a garden with a fence, so that foxes don't come in, so that they learn from the very beginning of their identification or self-identification as a nation and as a people of God, that they are separate from everyone else, that they have particular set of, or a code of laws that separates them away from those that are not the people of God, that are not the people of Israel. And so throughout the relationship of God with Israel throughout the Old Testament, this was the idea, giving them the law so that they can grow gradually and learn bit by bit throughout centuries, a process not unlike that of evolution. That their relationship to God encompasses all things, that they are a special people, called to a special calling, and that they will rise a little bit by little bit in their understanding of God, not just of morality for its own sake, the way they relate to others through things like justice and fairness and whatnot, but to gradually and make baby steps towards understanding who God Himself is. So eventually the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. And it's, we call it the fullness of time in part for this reason, because it was supposed to be the fullness of time, the right time, at least for the people of Israel, to be fully ready to receive the Word of God incarnate in their lives. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets, the fulfillment, the perfect priest, the perfect priesthood, the perfect sacrifice. And so the Lord comes and asks for fruit. Fruits such as mercy, love, the fruits of the Holy Spirit that He would have bestowed on the people of Israel. But instead, the people of Israel do not recognize Him. And we see here in this parable how many times the owner of the vineyard has great intentions for his vineyard. And he even says, okay, they beat the first two servants, I will send them my own son. And his thinking is, my own son will have a much better effect on those vine dressers than just an employee that I send to them. And despite these best of intentions, they take his son and beat him because he's the heir. We too in our lives have to recognize that everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have is something that is a vineyard, a vine, our own souls, first of all, given to us to nurture, to grow, to cause to grow in Christ to the fullness, so that when Christ comes and asks, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of all the good things that I've given you? We would not be found fruitless. First of all, this fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk a little bit more about that soon. But also every single gift that we have, every one of us has different gifts from those around us. And these gifts are not given to us simply for our own self-actualization, for our own happiness, for our own betterment. But ultimately they are entrusted to us by God. And God will come and ask you specifically, what have you done with the gifts that I've given you? If it's money, if it's intelligence, if it's education, if it's anything that the Lord has given you that you can help use to help others around you, use to serve the church, your family, the people that have that God have put in your path, in your life, all of these things are not just additional things, are not just extraneous, but it's part and parcel of what the Lord Jesus Christ will come at the end of our lives and ask you, where's the fruit? I want a taste of the great fruit that you have given, that you have grown, because you are my vine. You are my vine. We see this, of course, most of all in the life of our Holy Mother, the Virgin Saint Mary. She identified with the Lord's will so much that even titles that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ and applied to the Lord Jesus Christ fully apply also to her. So the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's the vine, he's the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, as he says. But the church then applies the same title to the Virgin Mary in her prayers. You come in the prayer of the third hour, and we call her, O Theotokos, you are the true vine who bore the fruit of life, or in other translations, who bore the cluster of life, a cluster of grapes, that is. How can we call the Holy Virgin Mary the true vine when the Lord Himself said that He is the true vine? It is because of this perfect synergy between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Virgin Mary. She, in other words, submitted her will to Him fully and completely, to the point of complete identity with the Lord. In her own efforts and in her own ministry to the mystery of salvation. And so that's why she was able to bear forth good fruit. And if we speak about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, she had many of those, and that could be multiple sermons just by themselves. If you think of the fruit of the Holy Spirit as love, she loved the Lord and she loved God so much as to make herself a vessel and a minister of His salvation to humanity. If you think of the fruits of the Holy Spirit as perseverance, self-control, chastity, these are the defining features of the Holy Virgin and Mother of God, Saint Mary. Her chaste conduct, her perseverance despite all the rumors, despite all the social position she was in as the mother of an infant without marriage. That's perseverance, self-control, chastity. All of these things were exemplified in the Mother of God, Saint Mary. So we remember this today. Among the so many different titles that we have for the Holy Virgin Mary, is that just like the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine, she also is the true vine, because she bore the cluster of life, the branch or the fruit of life that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Another hymn of the church, we don't sing it that often in our church, but it's a beautiful one, calls the Holy Virgin Mary the unaging vineyard. Unaging. A vineyard that never stops giving fruit. And what is the fruit of the Holy Virgin Mary that never stops? It is, first of all, her own fruit that I spoke about, her own spiritual role in the plan of salvation. But for generations after that, and the angel told her, in her encounter with Elizabeth, for generations they shall call you blessed. But she is the unaging vineyard who never stops giving fruit, and that fruit is her own children for generations in the church. Generations and generations of saints and holy people of the church who have identified closely with the Mother of God. Think just the fact that two of the famous monasteries in Wadi Natrun, and those are monasteries of men, monks. Two of them are dedicated to the Holy Virgin Mary. Surian and Baramos are two monasteries of the Holy Virgin Mary. There are so many monasteries, of course, dedicated to her, so many churches, so many places of worship. Mount Athos, not to speak just about our own church, but even in the Greek tradition, Mount Athos is known as the garden or the paradise of the Virgin Mary, because she's understood to be the protectress of the whole peninsula, where there are so many monasteries dedicated to her. And so these are all fruits of the unaging vineyard, the vineyard that never gets too old. And so today, and the following week, in this fast of the Holy Virgin Mary, we are not just commemorating and honoring a historical person who fulfilled a historic role in the plan of salvation, and we commemorate them and to think about them merely as a good example, but we commemorate and identify with the Mother of God, who is ever present, who is the unaging vineyard, and who is ever present with us in this church. We praised her just a few minutes ago with a beautiful hymn that I hope you were listening to, and you found that so many psalms in the Psalms of David speak about her, and that is the point of this whole hymn. That, you know, it says David plucked his first, his second, his third, his fourth string, and said, and then we quote the Psalms. And the idea of this hymn is to remind the church that so many of the Psalms of David have to do not just with our Lord Jesus Christ, but with his mother as well, and to him her. And very soon, in a few minutes from now, you're going to be patient with us as well as we sing another hymn, Rejoice, O Mary. And so with her also, we rejoice. With her also today and next week and for these coming 2 weeks of the fast, we rejoice knowing what? Knowing that she is ever present with us, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, her Son, is ever present with us. And that she is our mother more so than our mothers and fathers in the flesh. Because she is with us as an example. She is with us in all of our struggles, praying with us, rejoicing with us, and interceding for us. And so today, as we again commemorate and we think about this parable of the vine dressers and the vineyards, we are faced with two kinds of vineyards, two kinds of vines. One that is the people of Israel, an example not to follow, an example to watch for, lest we fall into the same patterns of behavior and thinking. And then the antithetical or the antithesis of this vine is the Holy Virgin Mary, the vineyard that is the true vine and one that is unaging, always giving fruit. And may the fruit of the prayers and intercessions of the Holy Virgin, Mother of God, Saint Mary, be apparent and be clear in all of our lives as we meditate on her and on her virtues these 2 weeks as truly our mother and our example in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. To God be glory now and ever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.